Tonight, if you're going to be finding your way to the book of Ezekiel chapter number 36, Ezekiel chapter number 36, and that is in the Bible, and it is in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter number 36. While you're turning there, let me also say thank you to all those who worked to get the conference ready, and the ladies participated for nothing but good reports. And men, thank you for working to make that possible. I heard yesterday from a couple of pastor friends whose ladies were here, and thanking, wanted me to pass on the thanks and the gratitude. Then I heard from a pastor friend today, and his text was simply, "Well, you tried." So I don't know what that means. I don't know what those ladies came home with. But anyway, but no, it was a great, great time. It was a great influence. And then the Night of Hope. I'm glad to get these started back up again. It's been a while since we've been able to have one. And so if you've been to a Night of Hope in the past, dealing with grief and all those kind of things, it'll be different material this time. So I'd encourage you to come back. There is no charge. We'll get together. Bring somebody with you. If you talk to somebody at work, you know somebody's going through something, invite them. We're going to have this on a regular schedule now. And so it's always going to be something that we can keep on our radar of inviting somebody to come get help. And the main theme, just to remind you, is you can't truly deal with your sorrow without a relationship with the man of sorrows. And I believe there's going to be a lot of people come to Christ through this, but a lot of people encouraged and get help they need to navigate their burdens of life. And so just want to remind you of that. Have you found Ezekiel yet? Ezekiel 36, I'm going to begin reading with verse number 16. And after I read the text tonight, I want you to keep your Bible open to chapter 36, because we will be referring to chapter 37 at some point as well. And I'm going to give you some other scripture tonight, and I'm not going to take the time to turn to it, but I do, if you want to mark it down, it'll be good for you to go back and look at. But we're going to deal with another aspect of the nation of Israel and the prophetic nature of it and how it relates to what's going on today. Verse 16 of Ezekiel chapter number 36. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," this is Ezekiel speaking, "Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went." Now, this is important. God is telling the prophet, speaking of Israel, because of their actions, because of their idols, because of their defiling the land that God gave them, he judged them, poured them out among the heathen nations. And the heathen nations targeted them because they were the people of the Lord. And then God comes back in verse number 23, and he's saying, don't forget this. I'm not doing this necessarily for them, but for my name's sake. Because God is not mocked. God is not blasphemed. What does he mean by that? He said, I gave his name's sake. His name is only as good as his word. And for his word's sake, he has a covenant with them. So to keep that in mind, verse 24, "For I will take you from among the heathen." So he has dispersed them amongst the heathen. Then he says, "There will be a time, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Now, we know where their own land is. We know where that is. The Bible tells us where it is. Tonight, the message is modern Israel really Israel? You hear a lot of rhetoric today in the political realm. You hear a lot of rhetoric today from podcasters who are attacking Israel, who say, I'm not against Israel. And we need to understand something. They'll use the argument, well, modern Israel is not really Israel. Well, I just showed you from one passage of Scripture how God said in that they're in that promised land. He judged them and dispersed them among the countries. Then he's going to gather them back up to where? Their own land. The modern nation of Israel is in the same place as it was when God gave them the promised land. Now, there are some people who are residing in some of their land that God will one day give them. So tonight, is modern Israel really Israel? We'll answer that question tonight. Father, we come to you grateful for your word that gives clarity, that gives direction, that gives us exactly what is going on in our day as we can look to the future. I pray that you'll bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the arguments today that's become more common in recent years is exactly what I just mentioned, that the claim that the Jewish people living in Israel today are not really the descendants of biblical Israel. Some claim that modern Israel is made up primarily of, and they use the term Canaanites, or other unrelated peoples. Others argue that the real Israel disappeared long ago and that the modern nation has no connection to the promises of Scripture. There are many, and I taught you weeks ago on the fact that some who say that the church has replaced Israel in the promise of God, I showed how that is not true. Because if God does not keep his word in one covenant, you and I cannot have confidence in our salvation. And friend, I have confidence in my salvation. Even the Apostle Paul in his writings confirms the covenant between God and Israel. The assumption is made that when that time comes, when God does gather his people together, that Israel will be right with him just because he's gathered them together. There'll be an acceptance of the Messiah and in complete harmony with God. We're going to see what the Bible says about that. The issue that we're looking at tonight and the issue of today is not whether the modern government of Israel is perfect. It's not. By the way, our government is not perfect. I shudder to think that there are some who still think because God blesses America, it's because of the government that he blesses us. It is not. Any blessing we get is in spite of the government that we have. The issue is not whether the modern government of Israel is perfect. The issue is whether God keeps his promises. Several things to look at tonight, and I want to take time to look at several of these in Scripture. But let me say, as we consider, is modern Israel really Israel? Aren't you thankful that the Bible answers these questions? I don't have to listen to a podcast tomorrow to figure out is if Israel is really Israel. I don't have to depend on a politician to tell me where I should stand spiritually. But number one, God promised Israel would be scattered and gathered. We read that in our text. God promised. He made a promise. Does God keep his promises? Yes, he does. He promised the prophet Ezekiel, and that has been recorded for us, that God would scatter Israel. And if you have any sense of history, as I read that passage, starting with verse 16, and how God has said these things and done these things, it has played out on the pages of history. It has played out in the nations of this world. But he promised that Israel, he would scatter them, and then he would gather them. See, the Bible foretold those two things about Israel, that they would be scattered among the nations. The Jews, the Israelites, were scattered among different nations. And then he says they would be regathered. Deuteronomy 28:64, if you want to mark that reference, says this: "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even until the other." That prophecy came to pass. Israel was scattered across the nations of the world. But God also promised he would bring them back. We see in our text in verse 24 specifically says, "I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land." If you look at a map today where it says Israel, if you turn to the back of your Bible and you look at the map, that pictures what God described that he was giving to his people. Lo and behold, they are the same place on a globe. Because he gave them a land. It's the promised land that belongs to them. They rebelled against God right when they got in the land. Under Joshua, they get established and they start looking at the gods of the Canaanites. And God confirms here that he scatters them. He would scatter them because of this. But just as important, he says, "For my holy name's sake, I will gather them back as well." Now, we see that in our Bible, verse 24. You see it right there? Okay. Now, we know what he said. Now, let's notice what he did not say. He did not say, because of the rebellion of his people, he would create a brand new people. He did not say he would replace Israel with another nation. America has not replaced Israel. He did not say he would replace his people with the church. Now, the church is a called out assembly. We touched on it this morning. The church is important, but it's, and God has promises to the church. But the church, he did not say that he was replacing his people with the church. But what did he say? He said he would regather the same people he had scattered. I hate to use this illustration because I don't want to embarrass this individual, but I'm going to use this illustration so that I can embarrass this individual. My wife likes puzzles. You know, the kind that you put together on a table. Certain times of the year, holidays especially, she has more time, she'll put it together. We'll have family over during that time. She will sit there, and that puzzle can be on that table for days. And every few little bits, she'll come by and she'll try and put a few pieces there. There's one particular holiday many, many years ago when she had put a puzzle together. Hours, days, weeks. And a certain member of our extended family, I won't tell you who it is, but he was about this tall and his name rhymes with Taylor. He walks over for some reason, the puzzle all putting together. How many of you do puzzles? Okay, there's more weirdos out there. All right. How exciting do you get when you put the last pieces in? I'm just going to leave it there for a while and gather dust so everybody can see it. So he comes along and just scatters it. He is as rebellious as is illustrated in the scripture as God pictures Israel. The point is, there was a scattering, and then there had to be a gathering. Why would you gather the pieces back? It was complete. it matched the picture on the box, but yet it got scattered. It was already complete at one time. Why would you gather all of those pieces? I'll tell you why. Because, and she did this, put all the pieces back together again. This is what God is describing. He had a picture, and that picture was in place, but because of their rebellion and because of their rejection of God, they were scattered. Now, why would God gather them if He's not going to put the picture together again? See, the God who scattered Israel is the God who promised to preserve and regather Israel. Statement number two tonight, as we answer the question, is modern Israel really Israel? Are y'all following me? Okay. The Bible distinguishes Israel from the Canaanites. The Bible clearly distinguishes Israel from the Canaanites. The land of Canaan. That is the land that God had promised to His people. It was called the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan lived Canaanites. There's an argument today, well, they weren't even the first people there. It doesn't matter. I will concur. The Israelites were not the first people who lived in that land. God took it from them and gave it to His people. In that land were the Canaanites. They were already there. If you would study out Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse number 1, they're listed for us. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Israel was not one of those nations listed. Israel came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's covenant passed through Abraham to Isaac, then to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. See, the entire biblical story depends on this distinction. Just because Israel lived in the land of Canaan did not make them Canaanites. And just like they live today in that same land does not make them Canaanites today. Because when God started gathering them in the 1940s to a particular place, now they're living among the people who were there, it does not mean they're Canaanites now, just like it didn't mean they were Canaanites then. See, the Bible never confuses those two peoples. He made that covenant. God made that covenant with Abraham and his descendants. So when people say the Jewish people today are really Canaanites, they're making a claim that the Bible never makes. Using illustration, some today point to Benjamin Netanyahu. And of course, he's the leader, so he's gonna take a lot of the criticism and have a target. And they say that's not really Israel. Or he is a Canaanite. What they're saying is they're trying to apply a secular government, that label of Canaanite, to the leader of the nation of Israel. And let me just say this. The issue tonight is not whether we approve of every action of a political leader. And you may not agree with me on this, but I'm glad Donald Trump's our president and we don't have the one we had. But I do not approve of everything that Donald Trump does. I don't have to. I'm not the president. But I'm glad he is our president, considering what we had or could have had. So the issue tonight is not whether we approve of every action of a political leader. The issue is not whether the present government of Israel honors Jesus Christ. Some of you have been to Israel with me. They're still talking about the Messiah coming when He's already come. The issue is whether God made promises to a people and whether God keeps those promises. Please stay with me. It is a fact, a documented fact, that Benjamin Netanyahu comes from a Jewish family of long-established Jewish ancestry with family roots traced to European Jewish communities and to even an earlier Jewish heritage. Why is that important? Because God's covenant is with blood, not with government. So you can trace his Jewish heritage. He is a descendant of God's covenant. The fact that he is a political leader and has a political party is irrelevant to the promise that God has made. Does this make sense? God has made this distinction between Israel and Canaan and Canaanites. So just as, let me summarize again, we'll go to number three. Just as when God's people got to Canaan, when he promised it to them, all those different nations lived there. When Israel crossed into, led by Joshua, to the land that God had given them, they were now in the land God had given them, but they were not of the land God gave them. So when you hear the political rhetoric today, they're on occupied land. Yeah, somebody else is where God gave them. And so just because they're there now does not mean they're the same as the people who were there. Number three, the Jewish people have been preserved. One of the great miracles of history is that the Jewish people remain a distinct people. Despite being scattered throughout the world. Think about this. America is a melting pot, and it is. America is such a unique nation in world history. People from all over come here. And no matter what you trace your heritage all the way back to, different races, different nationalities, all those things, you're an American. And it's a melting pot. After a while, you say, Pastor, what is your heritage? I have no idea. I'm an American. Well, if you send your DNA to Ancestry.com, there ain't no way I'm doing that. And if you've done it, God bless you. I'm going to see you getting put handcuffed somewhere because your DNA showed up somewhere. And anyway, that's what the conspiracy theories told me, so I have to go with that. That's what America is. With one exception. The Jewish people are still distinct in America. Most ancient nations have disappeared. Anybody here can say, I can trace my Philistine heritage. The Philistines have disappeared. The Moabites have disappeared. The Canaanites have disappeared. But Israel's still here. Though scattered across Europe, Asia, Africa, the Middle East, the Jewish people continue to preserve. Think about this. They have preserved their identity, their ancestry, their traditions, their connections to Abraham. You think about it through the centuries and what the Jewish people have endured. Well, if you've never read about the Holocaust, you ought to read about the Holocaust. You ought to read about those atrocities, as hard as they are to even fathom. And it did happen, by the way. You say, what's the point of bringing that up? It's got to be more than a coincidence that this group of people through the centuries, it has been important enough and God has allowed it to be preserved. So there's an obvious connection to Abraham, to whom the promise was made by God. They've kept their identity, they've kept their ancestry, they've kept their traditions. Jeremiah 31, verse 35 and 36 tells us, if those ordinances, talking about the ordinance there, depart from me, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. As long as the sun and the moon are here, God tells us in the book of Jeremiah that Israel will remain. The sun, have you seen the sun today? It's still here. By the time I'm done, you're going to see the moon out there. And God says, as long as there's a sun and a moon, there'll be an Israel. So I've got to decide, am I going to trust God or am I going to trust a political pundit? Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust a podcaster? Am I going to trust God or am I even going to trust another Baptist preacher? I think we ought to trust God. And this is a good admonition for us as God's people. Instead of just accepting and staying confused, let's get to the Bible and see what God actually says. The continued existence of the Jewish people in itself is evidence that God has preserved them. Number four. I have five tonight. You want evidence that your pastor is growing as a pastor? I don't stay with 4 points anymore. God's promises are to a people, not to the perfection of a government. Before I get back to Israel, let me say this about us as Americans. God's promise in Scripture is to His children, is to His church, is to those who are the saved, the redeemed, not to America. I preached this not too long ago to you, but America will stay blessed as long as we stay Israel's ally. Otherwise, God has made no promises to us as a nation. He's made no promises to America. He's made no promises to our government. He's made promises to His church. This is the harsh reality that we don't like to face and think about. You say, well, look at all the socialism, look at all the communism, look at all the pushing, and if it's but the hand of God that's keeping us from doing like every other nation that's ever come on the scene. So why do you say that? Because God's promise is not to them. God's promise is that righteousness exalts a nation, and His promises is on His people. It says it rains on the just and the unjust. But we also have promises that in the midst of a famine, our crops can grow. Now, let's get back to Israel. That was just bonus. This is where some people are easily confused or they get confused. And by the way, there are sincere people who are parroting falsehoods. Who are repeating things that are not true. They may say the government of Israel today does not believe in Jesus Christ. That is true. But many Jews today reject Jesus as Messiah. That is true. The nation of Israel today is not a godly nation. That is also true. The modern government of Israel is not a Christian government. Right once again. But the Bible never said Israel would already believe in Christ before God restored them to their land. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. Let's be reminded once again, the promises of God are made to the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not to the righteousness of every government or political leader. God's covenant is with a people, not with the perfection of a government. Romans 11, 25, you may want to mark that down, says, blindness in part is happened to Israel. God said what has happened is going to happen. Blindness in part of the reason is it's happened to Israel. This is why they still reject Christ as the Messiah. This is why the government is the way it is. Israel is, though, back in the same land that God promised them and gave them in Scripture, but much of the nation is still spiritually blind. And some will say this disproves this prophecy, but I would submit to you it fulfills the prophecy. Let me continue. Let me show us where it's very, very clear. We saw our text in chapter 36, and look with me, chapter 37. We're going to read several verses here. Chapter 37. You still with me? Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now think about this. He's taken in a vision to a valley full of dead men's bones. God asked him that question, can these live? And I think he gave a good answer. What do you think, God? So God says, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Now, in the vision of the dry bones, the bones come together first. These are dead bones. They're dispersed. The bones come together. Then the flesh comes upon them. Let's look at what has happened today. The nation is physically restored. They are back. Those people are back. And I understand not all the people are there, but they have a nation. They're back where they were, the promised land where God gave them. But there's still no breath in them. They're still spiritually dead. They're still looking for the Messiah when he's already come. Only afterward does God breathe life into them. Israel has been physically regathered. The nation exists. But the spiritual restoration has not yet happened. This is great explanation for what we see. Everything going on in this world is falling right into place for those quote-unquote end times. When Jesus calls us home, when the trump sounds. And part of that is the restoration of the nation of Israel. And before they can embrace the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come, he's got to gather them back together. Well, why hasn't God done this? And why haven't they called on him? Because in the book of Ezekiel, he said, I will scatter them, but then I have to gather them. And then he gives in chapter 37 that they have to be assembled together again, and then the flesh put on them. And in other words, there's got to be a body to breathe life into. Before I can give it life. They are back in the land first. Then one day they will come to faith. I'm going to go to number 5 in just a moment, but this is the problem a lot of people, even quote-unquote conservatives, have. Because it is a fulfillment of Scripture. And this is a great illustration, and we're seeing it play out, and I can't get bogged down here. And in days ahead, we'll continue to see it play out. But conservatism and Christianity are not the same thing. They are not the same thing. And if you spend more time getting indoctrinated with conservatism than you do Christianity, you are going to have a wrong world view. You're going to miss it. You're going to think, and I'm not trying to make fun or poke fun, but you're going to think that shot is a mark of the beast. But we're getting indoctrinated with conservatism. And you can be a conservative and lost. And if you're lost, the Bible says you are a child of the devil. How many of you are saved tonight? Before you and I got saved, we were a child of the devil. So it is a rejection. It is a resistance. It's the devil knows his time's short. The devil knows what the Bible says. The devil knows they've been scattered. And as they were scattered, he would empower those like Hitler in trying to eradicate them all. That didn't work. God preserved them. And now he sees the bones starting to come together again. And as the bones start to come together again, he knows what is next. Eventually, God is going to bring life back into that body. And that leads us to verse number 5. I don't know if you're enjoying this. I'm having a good time. Israel will recognize their Messiah. Zechariah 12:10, we won't turn there, but write that reference down. It says in Zechariah 12:10, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Does it mean they're just going to see him and be like, who's that? Oh no, they're going to look upon him, the one they crucified. And they're going to recognize him as the Son of God. They're going to recognize him as the Messiah. Romans 11:26 says, and so all Israel shall be saved. See, Israel today is not the final fulfillment of God's promises. And that's what some knowingly and unknowingly are comparing this to. Well, the Bible says this, and they're not this. But what you're comparing to is the final stage of the fulfillment. Israel today is not the final fulfillment of God's promises. But what it is God getting the bones all together. Laying the sinew, the muscle, the skin. And one day, as he said, the breath of life is going to blow. What this is the beginning of God's gathering. You say, are they all gathered? I cannot tell you if they're all gathered. I cannot tell you how many left are to be gathered. I cannot tell you how many more bones need to come together. But I can just tell you, since the time God said, go back to the land that I gave you, and just as there was Canaanites there before, there's Canaanites there now, but it's your land. You go there, and I disperse you, but I'm gathering you up. And I'm going to put you all together, and I'm going to get you ready, and one day I'm going to breathe life into you again. The nation is physically back in the land. But one day the nation will also be spiritually restored. The same people who are back in that land today, Israel, will one day look upon Christ and believe. Say, well, the Israel today does not honor Christ. And let me tell you, that's one of the things that bothers me when I have been to Israel, is the rejection. We're there to see the places where Jesus was. And they walk amongst it and are oblivious to it. People from all over the world come to see it. And they scoff at, even if they're honest, they scoff at even if he was even real, or they say he was just somebody who led a revolt against the Roman government. But it is significant that you can go there, and the people are there because he's gathering them back as he said he would. See, it proves, let me say it like this, the fact that Israel today does not yet honor Christ does not disprove that they are Israel. It actually proves that the Bible is right. Because the Bible tells us that they would first return in unbelief and only later receive their Messiah. Is modern Israel really Israel? Yes. The same God who scattered Israel has preserved Israel. And to deny this is to deny the Bible. And by the way, this is happening in our churches, where there are people who will choose the podcaster over their pastor's scriptural teaching. And they'll listen to some yahoo on YouTube. Say, well, they say, well, the Bible says. Everything that is taking place proves that the Bible is right. You know, and depending on the news source, and probably all of them, and I would highly not recommend that. Listen to any of them, only as much as you have to. And it was like, how many times is the weatherman wrong? And they're right more than the rest of the news is. You know, it's like the weatherman said it, and we forget the 700 times they've been wrong. Anyway, that's a whole nother frustration. I don't even know what I was going to say. It was really good, too. We see that the Bible is right. He says that it first returned unbelief. Be very, very careful. Because God is regathering. The Bible is true. Don't be fooled by what you hear and what you see. Because God is bringing things together. Those Christians, those we had the Word of God, but it was before the time Israel, that nation, was back on that same land. They didn't know how this was going to happen, but they knew it was going to happen. And now as we see things play out, there's criticism in the world. It's like, Netanyahu is calling the shots with Trump. Well, nobody calls the shots with him. Even if they should, they don't. But here's the thing. I don't have to say, do you agree with everything he does? I don't look at it that way. I don't have to. I don't agree with the majority of what my own government does. But there is a sense of honor and respect to the descendant of Abraham. And I look at it from the standpoint of, if Jesus called us home today, that very man is going to see the Messiah. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I know this, that the Bible is true. See, the same God who preserved Israel has regathered Israel. The same God who regathered Israel will one day save Israel. We know that every modern leader, in whatever the country, but even in Israel, is not righteous. We're making the wrong issue the issue. The issue is whether God keeps His promises. And God always keeps His promises. The nation in the land today, I've given us some good stuff tonight. It's not yet spiritually restored. When I get emotional at this, being over in Israel and standing on that Mount of Olives, just thinking about it stirs me. What a breathtaking sight. But I can remember standing there multiple times. Of course, all that took place there, we read in Scripture. But I couldn't help but think, one day, the Messiah has already been. They rejected Him. Those of you that were on that trip, you remember us walking down the Mount of Olives and looking at the city, and maybe somewhere around here, Christ wept and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou hast slain the prophets." He's signifying the rejection of Him. But He's coming again. He's coming back to that very place. And He is going to rule and to reign. They're not yet spiritually restored, but one day they will see their Messiah. When they do, every promise God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be fulfilled. I don't know everything that's going to happen and why everything's happening that's happening, but we do know even the war we're in is significant. Because this positioning, I know it's significant. It's about lower gas prices. It's about all safety. It's about those things, but that's not as significant as what God is doing, maneuvering. Because God knows what He said. He knows what he whispered into the ear of the prophet. Son of man, prophesy against them. One day that wind is going to blow. And what was once those scattered bones, dry and barren, just a reminder of death, and what was, we are witnessing in the day we live, God gathering all the bones coming together. The sinew, the muscle, growing again on those bones. One day the skin will come on those bodies, that body again. And one day that breath is going to blow, that breath of life. And his nation, his people, Israel, is going to look on the one that they pierced. And they will accept their Messiah. And Israel will be restored. What a day we live in. So, Pastor, how is this significant to me? It's significant for us to be right according to the Bible, not according to a political poll. And if we don't stay grounded in the truth, we're reminded we'll be tossed with every wind of doctrine. Some of these podcasters, let me just say, they're conservative, but they're Catholic. And they're not espousing political conservatism, they're espousing Catholic doctrine. I taught last week on from the book of Revelation, the woman referred to and how that is Israel, but the Catholic Church will tell you that's them. They believe it's them. So you have a Catholic podcaster, he can be as conservative as Ronald Reagan, but he's espousing Catholic doctrine, which is not Bible doctrine. So we have to be right. We can be swayed from the truth. Then it ought to compel us to make sure that we're busy making ready for the trumpet to call us home. I could go and go and go. This is fun. He's going to call the church out so he can do business with his people. The church is going home. That he's poured out his wrath on this world. He'll do business with his people. But he'll not cast aside his people. Because God keeps his word. For his holy name. One day those people are going to rise up. Having believed on the Son of God. Believed on the Messiah. There's a lot of Baptists, and it's nobody I run. They're not the circles I run. And there's a lot of church-going people that become anti-Israel. Well, if they go to heaven, they're going to have to get used to a bunch of Israelites being there. The church is going to be called out. God will do business with his people. Let's be busy telling people about Christ. We sometimes are frustrated. Why can't they see? He's the Messiah. Well, why don't we just tell people that we know that he is? Make sure we're getting ready for his return. I don't know if all the bones are gathered or not. I don't know what else needs to happen. God does before God calls us home. But I know he's been gathering for a while. And the devil has turned it up. Remember last week in Revelation it said he knows his time is short? He knows his time is short. So it very well could be that everything's put together and that trumpet could sound tonight. Are you ready? Are you one of the redeemed? Are you one of the ones who've called on his name? If you're one of the redeemed, if you've been saved, are you ready? Have you told everybody about Christ that you need to tell? Have you surrendered everything that you need to surrender? Is there one more thing you need to lay at the altar tonight so that it would be off of you when you met your Savior? Is there one more decision, one more person you need to forgive? You say, well, Pastor, we get to heaven, we'll have our glorified body, and all those things will be taken care of. Oh, but I don't want to leave this world not having dealt with the things that I should have dealt with. Do you want to, the trumpet sounds tonight, do you want to be raptured out having not given God his tithe and offerings? Well, it's sobering to think what God is doing. So I hope I answered the question tonight from Scripture. Is modern Israel really Israel? Well, God would say a resounding yes. And to deny it is to deny the work of God himself. As he scattered, as he said he would do, but we forget that he also said that he would gather. His covenant is with the descendants of Abraham. Aren't you thankful the Bible teaches that we have been grafted in? That we are the redeemed? Boy, let's think on these things. Father, I pray that you'd